Hello, and welcome to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast, a resilience podcast where we talk about all the challenging things that we're working to overcome, like anxiety, health, and relationship issues. My name is Sarah. Hello, and welcome to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast. My name is Sarah, and I'm happy to connect with you this week. This week, I am speaking with Justin Glazer, who is a best-selling author of the book Sweat, Uncovering Your Body's Hidden Superpower. It is a super timely time to talk about sweat because in Ontario, Canada, we're experiencing spring and heading into summer. A lot of North America is going to be heading into the heat this summer. So let's find out what the benefits are of sweat. He is going to chat with us about how important sweat is to our health, our vitality, and disease prevention. And we're going to learn about detoxification and the best ways to harness the power of sweat in our daily routine. So join me for this episode with Justin Glazer. So welcome, Justin, to the podcast. I'm happy to connect with you today.
Thank you.
Why don't we start with you providing a little bit about your background and how you got interested in writing about the topic of sweat?
Yeah, so in my early 20s, I'm 28 years old right now, I essentially had a bit of a health crisis where I just experienced a lot of negative symptoms that were really impacting my quality of life. So I was in college, I started to notice just more fatigued, depressive symptoms, brain fog, anxiety, negative thoughts, nothing that was like you need to go to a hospital, but just completely drained the quality of my life. Mm-hmm. And became debilitating. And what happened was when I graduated from school, I was supposed to go on a trip to do a hike in Nepal with a friend. And I got home and was preparing for it. And my parents were like, they just looked at me and they were like, there's no way you could do this. Like, you would die if you tried to do a hike through the mountains, the Himalayas right now. And so realizing that, when that happened, it kind of just set a fire in me to just solve this. Cause I realized that if I don't figure what I was causing this and get to the root of this, it's just really going to ruin my quality of life, and have a big impact on my experiences. So I just became obsessed, went to a bunch of different Western doctors, Eastern doctors, got blood tests, genetics, trying to get to the root cause of what was causing this for me. And nothing was really working. And this was I'd say 1 to 2 year process of just coming up against dead ends. And it's not something you're going to get a lot of sort of support from the people around you, because it's not like you have a clear like issue. Like you're still able to go to work, you're still able to function, but just internally your sense of like experience is like a 2 or 3 out of 10. And so one day my friend suggested I try a sauna. And so I did. I went in for 30 minutes. And when I got out, I took a shower, not expecting anything. And it gave me more relief and made me feel like my old self more than anything else did. And I had no idea why. Hmm. And it lasted for a little bit, but it wasn't like a cure. But I just decided to make that a regular part of my routine while continuing to go down other rabbit holes to figure out what could help my health. And it just gradually took me from feeling terrible to good to feeling like a kid again. And during that process of healing through that, I learned the science and understanding of what was causing it. So what was cool is it wasn't a placebo effect. It wasn't like I went in expecting it to do something for me. I got to learn after the fact, why it was helping so much. And, you know, that process involved talking to a lot of experts in the sauna space, reading tons of books, talking to toxin experts, which I'll relate to in a bit. And ultimately healed through that process and became healthier than I've ever been. And, you know, realized that most people don't have access to this information. It hadn't been condensed into a book, and I felt like it deserved to be shared. So this year I decided to write the book and put that information together for people. So hopefully they can have similar outcomes that I did, whether their back is against the wall like me, or they're just looking to level up their health from wherever they're at.
That's super interesting. And, you know, it's making me think a little bit like there are different
things that I've come across kind of like saunas, or we actually have a salt room here where you can like be exposed to salt, and people have said that that makes a big difference. So can you tell us a little bit more about why, like what you found in your research in terms of sweat and why it's so essential?
Yeah. So essentially, the first is looking at like, what's the root cause of these issues, right? And so that's what I was trying to figure out as I went through that like 2-year process. And the more I dug into the research, the more I started coming across the term toxins, which I immediately rebuffed as ridiculous. And this something like really fringy people might consider to be an issue. But after consulting with a lot of people and talking about it, like it became clear that this was actually possibly like the primary issue causing the modern epidemic and health issues. Essentially, the last 60 years introducing chemicals, thousands of chemicals into the environment that we're exposed to on a daily basis, unlike any other time in history, and our body hasn't evolved to detoxify. First, it was identifying that as the perhaps a primary cause of this issue, just a buildup of a toxic load draining my energy levels and messing with my health and mental health. So first, figuring out that that was a piece of this, right? So toxicity, which we're all exposed to, and then learning that sweat has been proven to detoxify unlike anything else, and the skin's largest detox organ. So it's been one of the main things I've had people ask me about is, well, that's not true. Sweat doesn't detoxify. And then showing the studies that prove it does, as well as the overwhelming case studies of extreme toxicity and how sweat actually detoxifies for people. So essentially, toxins is the issue, sweat is the solution, and then the ways to sweat and how to actually implement that in your life. And so that applies to not only, you know, extreme cases where maybe you're chronically fatigued and can't get out of bed and you're trying to recover from that, to you have mild anxiety throughout the day and you don't know why. The argument is essentially a lot of this could be traced back to toxins, which I think the word is kind of not the best term. I think if you just think of it as really just like poisons, things that reliably and predictably cause problems in the body, I think that's probably a more sane way to describe it.
And is there any link that you found in terms of age? I mean, if you think about like toxic load, it would seem that as you get older, it would be more prominent. Like, have you seen anything about that? And then how much sweat do we need? Like how much of this?
Yeah, the common kind of buzz sentence that you'll hear when talking to like toxin experts is the greatest sign of your toxic load is age. Obviously, we all have different exposures. Perhaps you are, you know, in an area where you grew up in houses with lead infused paint, or like your couches are made with flame retardants, like, and you just happen to have more exposure than other people. And then I talk about that you're getting it from your parents. So they showed newborn blood, blood of newborns, tested for chemicals and showed 200 plus in an EWG study. So it's really an unavoidable issue. There's really two solutions. One is minimize your exposure through protocols and practices, and then also create routines for continuously getting it out of your body, which is through sweat. In terms of, I think your question was around how much to sweat or how to implement it. Yeah, in terms of how much to sweat, really a good kind of minimum dose target is 20 minutes of really heavy sweating 3 times a week would be a good place to start.
Okay. And so does it matter? Like, I mean, when I think of sweat, I automatically think of exercise. And so one of the things I wondered is, does it matter the type of activity? Like working out, sauna, steam room, like, you know, if you have a hot bath, like, is it dependent or it doesn't matter at all?
The reason saunas are so good is because you're going to get that really profuse sweat. I mean, like, you're sweating, you take a towel, you wipe it, and new sweat appears. That's really what you're going for, that level of just profusely sweating. That's going to be difficult, but not impossible to get in other ways. But certainly, if you can create a routine where you're getting that, say playing 3 days a week of an hour of tennis in the hot sun in your area with your shirt off, if you're a guy, and, you know, as minimal clothing as you can, that's great. It's just sauna happens to be like the easiest, most reliable way of doing it. A hot bath is an option. Hot yoga is great. It just turns out sauna is kind of the low hanging fruit for this.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like just in terms of getting that duration and intensity.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then I wondered, kind of in researching this, is there a protocol? Like, have you kind of expanded any of this beyond sweat? Like, are you looking at the food that you're eating or the different other exposures in your life? Like, how do you know where to take this, I guess?
Yeah, so I lay out kind of like that equation of essentially like to maximize your, through the lens of like toxins, right? So the way to maximize your vitality would be minimize your exposure. So figure out ways to limit your exposure to these substances, which is difficult, but there's low hanging fruit for that. Like getting a shower filter, because the tap, you can look up the what's in your tap water with the EWG, with your zip code if you want. Or, you know, improving the quality of your food, moving towards more organic, biodynamic foods. It's really, the first kind of thing is you become quite cynical because you're just, the modern world is you're just going to get exposed to this stuff, but it is certainly worthwhile to figure out ways to minimize your exposure. The book is more focused on the regular practices you could do when you just accept the fact you're going to be exposed to some degree and how to implement those.
Okay, great.
I feel like I missed part of your question though. I feel like I missed it.
No. I just wondered if like sort of you have like a whole protocol that you outline in the book or how extensive it is. Yeah.
I give really practical steps, particularly around the sauna, how to find saunas, public versus private. If you're going to buy a sauna, how to go about that process. And I lay that out as clearly as I can.
Yeah. And so why don't, maybe you could share some of that with us. Like I honestly was getting excited to chat with you and I thought, ooh, maybe I should get a sauna. Like this sounds really, really neat. And so, but yeah, where do we start? I mean, there's different types. Is it better to have a home one? I mean, I've even seen online where you can get these like sauna bags where people basically are like, you know, you zip it up to your neck, Amazon sells those. So yeah, kind of wondering what you found there in terms of the way to go. Sure.
So I'll start by saying avoid steam rooms. So there's really three types of saunas: steam rooms, dry saunas, infrared, as like major kind of groupings. The steam room is, if you think about mold, mold thrives in moist, dark places. So steam rooms are kind of be a breeding ground for mold. Plus you're going to be breathing in the tap water vapors, which isn't great. It's just not ideal. So I'd focus on dry saunas, which is more like a traditional sauna, and then infrared saunas, which are using infrared light to heat you up, raise your core body temperature. Those two are fantastic. Like either of those are great. In terms of, let's say you want to buy your own sauna, the industry is unregulated. So there's no real oversight about claims of kind of the two most important things when you're looking for a sauna. One of those is that it's toxin free. So it isn't made with chemical, there aren't toxic materials in the builds. And when you think of, say, like you have a plastic water bottle in a hot car and you leave and you come back and you try and drink it, it tastes like plastic, right? That's because toxins migrate with heat. And so when you have a sauna that's built with toxic materials, those will leach into the air from the heat. And then you're breathing that in, which is the exact opposite of what you're in a sauna for. So essentially, I'm like, you're hotboxing yourself with chemicals, which is the opposite of what you want. So that's less of an issue with public saunas because they're off-gassing like 12 hours a day. But when you're buying your own sauna, this becomes a surprisingly annoying consequence of going through the process of buying one. So really, there's only a handful of companies that are kind of above board with this. And it's just important to know which ones those are and get those, because unfortunately, there's a lot of claims. And I'm in a Facebook group with 50,000 members for a sauna group. And a company will tell them, hey, we're low in EMFs, which is the other big issue. And then they'll get the sauna, they'll walk in with their EMF meter, and it'll be like through the roof. And EMF is electromagnetic frequencies, and there's arguments that it's terrible for your health. So maybe we can link to that group for people in the show notes as a resource for sorting through kind of the mess of the sauna industry and finding the right brands.
Yeah, wow. I hadn't even thought of all of that. And that's a really good point about the fact that you could be getting something that you think is going to help and then it turns out it's actually, you know, exposing you to something else. So that's a really, really good point. And I'm sure many others haven't thought about it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. So it's this kind of important question with health practices is what unintended consequences might this have, even though my intention is good. So, you know, with saunas, it's really just, it's really that if you're going to buy a sauna, make sure you're getting a proper brand because you don't want one high in EMFs or using toxic materials. The portable sauna space is there's in that group, there's not a single one that kind of passes the test that I'd feel comfortable recommending.
Okay.
Or the people in that group, which is really unfortunate. So I was actually almost considering starting a portable sauna company to solve that because all those ones where your head's sticking out, they're mm-hmm. all using toxic materials. Not a single one. The guy who runs that group is perhaps like the foremost sauna expert I've ever spoken to. He spends thousands of hours researching this stuff and really geeking out on it more than me. And he'd love to recommend them to group members, but just no one's stepping up and actually doing it above board, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And I mean, I think cost is a big issue for people, right? And so that was mm-hmm. the thing with the portable ones, you know, they're definitely cheaper. And I'm sure a lot of the ones that are the better quality are more expensive. Am I right?
They are, yeah. But there are some brands, you know, I mean, you can get a home sauna that's fantastic from a couple of these brands for, I mean, it's not cheap, but it is like a life, perhaps the most important thing you could do for your health, but it's, you know, for $3,000, say, and have that like a lifetime warranty. So it's a cost, but it's also, you know, preventing you down the line from all sorts of health issues that can cost far more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And I mean, certainly a lot of people, you know, they see different practitioners, take different supplements, things like that, right? There's all a cost in the preventative space for sure. Yeah. And so in terms of your routine, what is your typical routine around working in a sauna? Is it something that you start your day with? Is it something that you do later? How do you sort of fit this in?
I've experimented with it. There's no right or wrong. Some people love to do it before bed as a way to like decompress. Some people like to start their day as it gives them kind of a clear head. I tend to do it in the afternoon just because I work remotely from home. Mm-hmm. And I talk in the book about how I went about finding a sauna and getting one for my home. So I'll usually go in the afternoon actually, but there's not really a right or wrong time. It's really a personal preference. The most important thing is that you're actually doing it and getting that deep sweat.
Yeah. Wow. And so you've kind of kept with this routine then for quite a while and you're still seeing all the benefits, or have you had any time where there's been a regression and you're like, oh, maybe I need to change something else?
You know, it's certainly not the only piece. I think of it kind of like, a building, like creating a building. And this is the toxicity thing is arguably like the foundation. And so taking care of that is the most important thing. And everything else is great. Like diet's great. Supplements can be great. Exercise is great. But without this piece, everything else kind of just doesn't work. Like you're starting with the roof when you should be starting with the foundation. For me, it's when I keep it up, it's all been positive. You know, I used to get sick 6 to 8 times a year. It's not medical advice and just a personal experience, but you know, I've been sick once in like the last 3 years, and that was because I didn't have access to a sauna during that 2 week period. So yeah, it's been all positive. I think the in addition to the type of like the making sure you're using a quality sauna, the other thing to look out for is you are going to be depleting some essential nutrients from your body, or however you want to phrase it. And so making sure you have a like really nutrient dense diet, maybe getting, I like organ meat, like beef liver, because it's just so nutrient dense versus all these kind of individualized supplements, but just making sure you're kind of replenishing properly with maybe with electrolytes or things like that is also important because you are sweating some of the good stuff out as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you mentioned travel there, like, or being away, like, do you use a sauna typically if you go to like a hotel or something, or are you kind of not so sure, will you check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was 2021, I was living in France for a few months and was traveling around a bit. And so I was in Barcelona and Paris mostly. And in both cities, it was like a weird process of trying to find saunas you can use. But if they're in the hotels, particularly public saunas are not as big of an issue because they're going to be dry saunas versus mm-hmm. infrared saunas. And then because they're on, say, like 12, 14 hours a day, that sort of toxic materials issue isn't as extreme. And the kind of the pros outweigh the cons with that. So if you think like you just got a brand new car and you know, you could smell the seats and that sort of thing. But if you left it outside for a week and left the doors open, it's going to off gas a lot of that. So the issue is not as extreme. That's kind of the same case with those public saunas. But yeah, you can find it. You know, the first chapter of my book is all about how cultures around the world have used saunas, from the Russian banyas to the Turkish, to the African cultures, to Native Americans, to Peruvians, just every, you know, almost every culture on the planet has some sort of sweat ritual. And that was before the modern issue. So I kind of use that to set the stage that this isn't some modern hack. This is actually something humans have been doing for thousands of years and is more important now than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. In our area, we have a Nordic spa, which you go to mm-hmm. and you can do like a round of like sauna and then cold plunge and then hot tub and kind of like mm-hmm. a relaxation room. So yeah, it's definitely something that's been around for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm wondering if you want to chat a little bit about the book writing process. How did you find, is this the first book that you've written or have you written any others?
It's the first book I've written.
Yeah. And how did you find the process?
I found it very painful.
Yeah.
when was it? I think, yeah, maybe in January. So a year ago, I had all this information and I read Breath by James Nestor and I was considering a few projects to work on. And this was one of like my top three. And I just felt kind of like, I don't want to say morally obligated, but I felt it would be something I regret if I didn't write it, just because I really felt that the message was that important. And it is offering a new paradigm in how we think about our health that I really believe in and haven't found anyone to kind of undermine the ideas or be able to get under them and say why it's a faulty thinking. So, you know, first I decided that it was worth it and that it deserved to be shared. So first the commitment was there, and then it was really just dedicating time every single day to write it. What was different is it didn't start with, let me pick something to write about and go research it and figure it out. I already had kind of the thesis and the ideas. It was about structuring it in a way that was, most effective. And so it was about 2 to 3 hours every morning, just writing and putting it together. Also going through interviews with people, bringing in other people's ideas and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I wrote a book myself, a little bit different. Like this one's more nonfiction. I wrote a fiction book, but yeah, it is definitely a process. And when you start to go through all the editing, and you have to be so committed to your topic, right? Like in order to withstand it, I can totally see that. So I get that if you had that kind of, you know, feeling inside that you needed to get this information out, I think you absolutely need that in order to keep on the process.
Yeah. So it wasn't pleasant. I'm glad I got it out. The response has been terrific, and I'm just kind of on a mission to spread it. So like chapter one was just completing it to the best of my ability. And now it's been out for 6 weeks and it's all about just sharing it.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering, are there any other key pieces of advice or tips or tools that you'd want to share? I mean, you mentioned the Facebook group in terms of people looking into saunas. Obviously, your book is, you know, a key tool that people can look at. So it's Sweat, Uncovering Your Body's Hidden Superpower. Anything else you kind of want to bring forward about detoxification generally or kind of the power of sweat?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we covered a few pieces of the book. One of the other components that I like to talk about that really highlights the magnitude of its importance is these extreme examples of toxicity. And so the example I focus on in the book is 9/11, actually. So during 9/11, thousands of people were exposed to just unheard of levels of toxins and chemical exposure and breathing it in for extended periods of time. So thousands of people were unable to go to work, chronic fatigue, tremors, neurological symptoms, depression, even like some bipolar stuff going on, just everything being caused by these toxins very clearly, right? So extreme example. They tried many different modalities. People tried all sorts of things to try and help with that, Western, Eastern approaches. And ultimately what really transformed people's lives was 500 people went through a niacin sauna protocol, which is essentially taking vitamin B, which is niacin, which does something called lipolysis. Essentially, a lot of these chemicals will store in the fat cells and stay there even for decades. So that's part of the problem with these substances. They don't leave the body. And so what that does is it opens the fat cells, allows these toxins to release into the bloodstream, and then you time that with the sauna. And so it's like an even more powerful detoxification than just sauna use. And all 500 people who went through it healed. 85% of them got off of their medications. They did before and after IQ tests. There was an improvement in IQ levels. Just remarkable changes. And so I interviewed a couple people who went through that program. One of them actually now is trying to advocate in Washington to get that protocol available to veterans and other people who have had toxin exposure. And, you know, I think that extreme case, that's been used for drug rehabs, that's been used for Agent Orange exposure. And, you know, it's used in those extreme examples, and it has transformative benefits because it detoxifies at such a deep level. But it's also, I mean, I went through the 30-day protocol with the son of the guy who oversaw that protocol in 9/11, because he does detox coaching for it, and I wanted to experience that. And so it's that, I think that highlights the power of sweat. That's sort of this miraculous healing protocol that I'm also passionate about sharing, because I think I personally believe everyone on the planet should be going through that throughout their lives because of what we're up against in terms of exposure. I don't recommend doing it on your own. You should have some form of supervision. It is a safe protocol, but you really should know what you're doing, because if you don't, then it cannot be safe. But, you know, I just wanted to highlight that, because I think that kind of puts into focus how important this is.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's really interesting and such a powerful example for sure. I mean, you mentioned kind of getting that coaching part of it to go along with it. Like, what would that entail? Like, is that looking at sort of the food or like the supplement type thing that you mentioned, or is it just to monitor, you know, how much you're doing per day?
Yeah. So everyone's in a different spot, right? So I interviewed a few people who've gone through that as well. One person had gadolinium poisoning from MRI contrast. So gadolinium is a very toxic heavy metal and just completely debilitated her. It was terrible. And she went through the protocol and it's helped more than anything else. And so, you know, you can have extreme issues like that where you really should be working with someone who can monitor it. Mm-hmm. It's you're going to experience symptoms throughout it, and you really want to be working with someone who can explain it. You're also timing it with binders. So in addition to the sauna, you're taking substances to latch onto the free-flowing toxins that haven't been sweat out and help you pull them out through, you know, urine, et cetera. So there's timing it. There's using the right saunas. There's knowing how to properly supplement, because you're going to be on tons of different replenishment supplements, like vitamins and things like that, to replenish. And you're also going to be taking binders and things like that. So it's not rocket science, but you're also going to be, part of that is also going to be based on your weight and things like that. So not rocket science, but you just want oversight during that process. It's a 30-day protocol. There are quite a few moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And did you find a positive like change in yourself even from doing that protocol compared to just the regular sauna?
I did. For me, I'd been saunaing pretty regularly for, say, 18 months. The main benefits I noticed were I used to like wake up and take like 20, 30 minutes for my sort of brain to feel like it was coming out of sleep. And after that protocol, it was like, I open my eyes, I'm awake. So that was the most kind of noticeable difference. I think that there's kind of two categories of improvements, right? There's noticeable things. People will notice their mood increase, their energy levels go up, brain fog lift, colors, their senses becoming more vivid. I definitely noticed that. And there's that side of things, like immediate health, like day-to-day improvements. And then there's the other side, which is prevention. So a lot of these diseases have been linked to these toxins and chemicals. And so it could be preventing cancer 20 years down the line, things like that. That's a research study I would love to see is taking, mm-hmm. say, you know, 1,000 people through the NICE and sauna protocol and comparing that to a control group and seeing over a time period disease rates and things like that, because the thesis is that you would see markedly decreased because so many of these things are linked to these substances that you're able to get out of the body.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, yeah, that's true. If you're doing something preventative, it's hard to really fully know sometimes how many things you're impacting. Yeah. That may have been, right? So yeah, that's amazing. Okay, no, that's a great example. And I think people will be really interested to read more about that. Anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up?
I think we covered a lot. I think that was great.
Perfect. So how can listeners find out more about you and your book? What are the best ways?
Yeah, I think hopefully in the show notes, we have a link to the book on Amazon. Yep. Please give it a read and a review if you like it. You can email me directly at justin@sweatthebook.com. I love hearing from people. My Twitter is heyjustinglazer is my handle. And my Instagram is justinglazer7. Those are the best ways. So hope everyone enjoys.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think this is, like I said, something I'm super interested in and learning more about. So it was great to get to talk to you today and find out everything that you know.
Cool. I had a great time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much to Justin Glazer for joining me today and talking all about sweat. I certainly learned a lot more about saunas and the benefits of those, as well as really why it is important and so important for our body to sweat. Definitely something that really does feel good when I'm out, like either working out outside or doing work in the garden, something like that. You really do start to feel the benefits of sweat. And now I understand a little bit more why it's so important. So if you'd like to learn even more, Justin's book is available. It is called Sweat, Uncovering Your Body's Hidden Superpower. And so feel free to pick that up. Thank you so much for joining me this week for the podcast. If you have ideas for future podcast episodes, please feel free to reach out to me at SarahLadyGluten on Instagram or at reallifeprojectco@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening this week and have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening to the Learning to Slay the Beast podcast. Please keep in mind, this podcast is not intended to be medical or professional advice. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can follow me on social media, Instagram and TikTok at SarahLadyGluten or Facebook, Sarah_GlutenFreeLady. You can also visit my website, which includes author information, speaking information, and more info on the podcast at www.se-german.com. If you like the podcast, please feel free to review the podcast on your favorite platform and also subscribe because it means that it will show up for you every week on your favorite podcast platform. Also, we've just started to have the ability to support the podcast. You can find this link in my Instagram bio or visit ko-fi.com/learningtoslaythebeasts. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.